Welcome to Opening Voices. Today, Quentin Adams, CEO of CleverCloud, is meeting Steve Morin, CEO and founder of ZML. In this third episode, Quentin and Steve are talking about how to make inference available.
Welcome to Opening Voices. I'm Quentin Adam from CleverCloud, and I'm still interviewing the tech leader of European network. And what we are trying to figure out with Steve Morin from ZML is how does the calculation of AI and what does it imply change in the whole world of infrastructure, of calculation, and how does everything fits to understand how works the AI. So what we have explaining to the first week was what is the kind of calculation and the magnitude of the calculation we have done in the first episode. In the second episode, we're trying to determine what is a training and what is inference. And today we will decide how can we make inference viable? Because basically what we can see is today AI is a candidate for enter in nearly every process, every knowledge, every need of the industry, of the service, of many things. But it's still, like you say, it's expensive because each time you rack a computer in AI, it's a very expensive computer. The server is costly, and the computer will not be able to serve thousands of customers at the same time, but just a very few. So
right.
It's become very costly, and how can we make the AI industrial? Can we cut the cost? So what's it about?
Right.
And what's happening in this world?
The maybe as an intro, essentially, or you know, without talking about too much, what you know we do at ZML is AI is essentially on two parallel paths. One is AI as the product. So think of it like OpenAI.
You're
like ChatGPT.
ChatGPT.
And the other is AI as the primitive. So AI as the primitive in is how AI penetrates the entire economy. Because you build verticalized products for, I don't know, doctors, for like HR, or whatever, on top of AI. And these things are very, number one, very different. But right now, what we're chasing is AI as the product, chatbots, if you will, or virtual assistants, right? In order for essentially inference to take off, inference will take off in the form of a primitive that every company uses one way or another. But they will not use it as a chatbot, they will use it as a primitive on wheels they build on top. So the evolution, and this is why, by the way, you know, we call inference the universal problem. A bank will do inference. A startup will do inference, you know, either directly or indirectly. But they will build on top of it. They will build products, there will be processes, there will be whatever, right? But everybody will do it. And this is, you know, how we think what we call the AI-powered economy will, you know, exist, rise. And this is what we're chasing, by the way, at ZML. And so, you know, today, the economical unit of inference is what's called the token, which we covered in a previous episode, I might add.
Yeah.
So, you know, the first? What was the first? All right.
Yeah,
so tune in on the
like
first episode. 2 weeks, time flies. Right?
Time flies.
It feels like half an hour, right?
Yeah.
Incredible. So tokens are economical unit of inference for many, many reasons. But it is very essentially LLM chatbot centric. For AI to become a primitive, we have to extract ourselves. And so what we're chasing, or what we'll see, is that once we essentially make the efficiency gains, let's just say we prevail on the less is better journey, then this is where, you know, the amount of compute dedicated to inference will explode. And so right now, the limiting function is not so much the amount of compute available. It's also the price, the operating complexity, the privacy aspects. There's many, many aspects. But at the very bottom of that...
And the delivery of the hardware also, because it's a...
For training, yes, not for inference.
Yeah, for inference, it's okay.
For inference, it's absolutely okay. There's compute available.
Not only NVIDIA, it's okay for inference.
Even for NVIDIA, there's many things we could argue about this, but for sake of argument, let's just say that even with NVIDIA, so by the way, when we're saying, you know, OpenAI pushed their numbers out of how many tokens they generate per second or per minute, anyways. When you do rough calculations, you get into, let's say, the tens of thousands of GPUs. Not the hundred thousands of GPUs. I don't have the number, by the way. So I did, you know, back of the envelope, right? But you get maybe, you know, and probably less than 50,000. So not like, you know, a million GPUs. For training, that's very different. But for inference, at least on the numbers we've seen, we can make, I would say, some guesstimates. Maybe, you know, let's say maybe 500,000, right? But that's not like, you know, 5 million. That's not 10 million. That's not, you know. So, by the way, that number is bound to grow a lot.
Yeah, because right now we're just at the beginning of the usage of AI.
But today, the amount of data of compute available for inference, it's there.
We want to understand that. We all think it's just the beginning of usage. And just have a look at how much it has changed our life already, and changing the society, and we are at the very, very bottom. So basically, what we will see is a fucking total revolution. Like, it's something like very, very.
Not very often that we see something like that. Yeah, definitely. At least in my, you know, 23 years of career, there were not that many. I would say that there were not that many, you know, as big of a revolution, or at least something that would totally penetrate the economy, right? There was self-driving in 2017-ish. Then there was the cloud, the mobile revolution. So probably it will be like, you know,
mobile,
yeah.
And maybe even bigger.
Probably even bigger, but mobile, at least
from a financial point of view and how the economics work, I think it would be like.
Let's just say penetration will be faster.
Yeah, sure.
Because the networks are here. Even if it's mobile scale, it will be a lot faster because infrastructure is there. At least in terms of distribution. In terms of compute, questions. Right. But then if you take into account like non-NVIDIA compute, there is compute available for inference. Right now it's allocated to training a lot, right? So there's this rush. But there's things on the horizon. About inference.
What is under the horizon about inference?
New chips, of course, you know.
So who is producing chips? It's only Intel, AMD?
So number one thing that's very important to understand is GPUs, number one, are a good response to, you know, the AI workloads, calculations, but they're not the only response. And also they're not the most efficient response. And so they're not the only response. GPUs are not the most efficient response. There are chips because, you know, usage is growing, there's demand. There are chips that are, you know, will come to the market that are able to do that, you know, a lot better or a lot faster or a lot cheaper, right? In the end, though, we are bound by the laws of physics. We will not change. But, you know, there are some efficiencies. And sometimes a lot of efficiency, like we're talking hundreds of times, right?
Yeah.
We can do.
We are not talking about like 20% gain.
No.
We're talking about like 400, 800 times.
Probably. And by the way, it's not only hardware, it's also software as well. There's a lot of, you know, overspend, a lot of waste. Not waste, but at least there's a lot of things we can, you know, make a lot more efficient.
What I sometimes when I talk to people and they say to me like, how do you say that it can be like optimization on the AI because the people that are doing it are very good, and I try to explain that yes, but it's a gold rush. So like,
of course,
basically
yes.
Everyone is running on the front, and they have plenty of money to doing it, and they are in the competition, and they are absolutely not doing the optimization because they don't care. This is not the problem.
Capital
they have right now
is bankrolling it for
now. And
by the way, on training again, if you are doing inference, at some point, you know, somebody will knock and tell you, "Hey, what the fuck?" Right?
And right now there is plenty of place in the software. Maybe you can explain me what you explained like a few months ago. The you know the AMD. Two libraries from AMD where there was a bug.
Oh, yeah.
Just to giving an example of this kind of
there was a bug in the AMD compiler, in which it would generate code for, I would say, the wrong GPU versus the one you had, and that would essentially create a 5 to 10x performance regression.
And how many characters do you change in the code to fix it and gain a 10 times
like, 5? 10.
10 characters. Yeah. Just
by the way, mind you, to be important, that was in March this year, right? Not 3 years ago, March this year. By the way, we're talking AMD, right? But there were some things on NVIDIA software too, again this year.
But just because people don't have enough time to just like discuss together and make the optimization they can do. So right now there is a lot of optimization
because everybody is rushing
and right now we are speaking about industrialization of AI, and if we want to industrialize, we will have to push the optimization.
For inference, yes.
Yeah. For inference. When we say we have the inference optimization, like you say, you can have other kind of GPU. So there is something in Google which is old and interesting, which is the TPU. We speak a little bit last week. So can you explain the TPU, and maybe we can open to other chips provider?
Roughly speaking, TPUs. So for number one, GPUs stands for graphic processing unit. CPU stands for central processing unit. TPU stands for tensor processing unit. A tensor is, let's just say, the unit of data in AI. So think of it like a matrix is a tensor with two dimensions. A vector, a list of numbers, let's say, is a tensor with one dimension, and so on and so on. So TPUs are dedicated, made for chips to process tensor data, matrix multiplication operations, etc. They've been around since a good while, like more than 10 years. They are now in generation 7. They're about to ship generation 7. And so Google has been, you know, doing it for a long time.
So it's their own chip.
It's their own chip.
And they're working with their own driver, and they're working in their own software stack on top of that. So
and by the way, it's very different from a GPU. Very, very different, fundamentally.
And
yet, it works, right?
Yeah. And when Apple is speaking about NPU?
It's the same thing. So of course everybody's rushing to grab because TPU is probably a trademark or something.
But
an NPU stands for neural processing unit. It's the same thing.
And how?
Well, not the same thing at the silicon level, but it's the same purpose.
Is the NPU inside the M processor of Apple similar in this work than the TPU of Google, or it's totally different?
Very different.
And if we open to the other,
but it is made for the same purpose.
It's made for the same purpose, but with a completely different approach.
Depend on how you look. It's I'm sorry, it's a tiny bit complicated. Let's just say that it's made to run AI workloads.
Okay.
Both of them.
And those...
There are different
Can you explain what is the kind of different actor you have there creating new kind of chips? Is there only like the big one, Google, NVIDIA, Intel? And can you describe a little bit this area?
Yes. Number one, GPUs are a good hack to do AI. It works well.
But and it make it NVIDIA rich.
Oh, yeah. Of course, beyond measure. But it's but not it's the only hack. Thing. Well, it's because it's massively parallel.
Yeah.
But there are some, let's just say, some less than, I would say, shiny things. Right. So there's a lot of things one can do to make this more efficient or faster or cheaper. Right. So there's been like for a while now a rush to, you know, bring new chips to the market that are not NVIDIA, that are essentially purpose made for this. What's different about that revolution today is that essentially LLMs are different. It was done for a good while to essentially do either signal processing or image processing. But LLMs, they're big, they're heavy, they're like unwieldy. That changed the whole landscape. But in the end, there's still a lot of, I would say, efficiency to get from that. And so these folks started working on it. And so there's a lot of, you know, manufacturers that are working on, we call them like GPU-like in the sense that you could compare, you know, to what you do with GPU, you would have TensorRent, either even if fundamentally TensorRent chips are very different from GPUs, but you would use them in the same, you know, sort of, you could use them in the same fashion. TensorRent, yes, Qualcomm is announcing one.
Qualcomm?
Yeah. It's not very hard to make an AI-dedicated chip. Fundamentally,
is it?
There's many tricks, but it's not like a CPU, for instance.
So it's more simple to do AI-oriented chips than a CPU, for example.
Yes, absolutely. For like lots of reasons.
The Intel guys will have a lot of pleasure to
the Intel that guys
because the stock market is failing.
The Intel guys have more to worry about, but I'm rooting for them. I mean, look, I was a kid in the 90s, so
yeah,
I am still, you know, deeply.
To be fair, I think that the problem they have is they don't listen to René when they say we go full arm, and I think
Intel.
Yeah.
Why would they?
Yeah, sure. But she was still the vice president. So.
X86. But anyways, yeah. But so yeah, for instance, TensorRent, you would say, you know, we have our homegrown, you know, a company in France called Visora, which actually just taped out, like I think 2 weeks ago.
Maybe.
No, depending on the release.
If you want to understand what is a tape out, there is a series of interview with Cypher on this very own channel. And it will explain you a little bit the different culture and works and workload of the semiconductor work. So and you will understand what means tape out.
Yes, but let's just say
Visora,
it's becoming a real thing.
So but Visora is a company. Like how many people? How many money you need to do that? But how many people is in Visora?
I don't know, but I would say a few hundred, maybe 100. I don't know.
Few dozens.
Few dozens.
Yeah.
So go Visora then. Yeah, good. Very good.
Something important that you need to figure out is, for me, I right now is reopening the market of the semiconductor and chips to new kind of interest, new kind of companies, because there is an open air in the market. There is a blue ocean. So there is innovation in the semiconductor market that we never seen.
What's true
in the last 25 or 30 years.
This is general in with respect to AI. This is the thing. What's very cool about AI, it very much is blue ocean in the sense that geography doesn't really matter anymore. You can because everybody's trying to figuring it out.
Did you talk to the people of Furiosa? Spin
South
Cloud.
Korea, yeah, Spin Cloud Germany. I think Germany, right? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's Germany. It's a partner of Clever Cloud. And you.
I know. No, well, yes, but these days I'm trying to be very careful about, you know, because there was this company, I don't remember, like, I think they were from Germany and they were not. And I was like, man, the guy was from Germany, but not the company.
Oh, yeah.
So anyways, yeah. So yeah, now geography doesn't matter as much. And there hasn't been an opportunity like that in a good while, in a very long while, actually. So yeah.
So right now what's happening is we are creating new kind of chips. Does NVIDIA is also creating chips dedicated to that will be more efficient than what they do?
It's complicated because they can absolutely, by the way. They would have no problem doing it. The issue though is that how do you do it without cannibalizing yourself?
Yeah, so they're basically trying to figure out when it will be the good time to launch.
They have this new thing, Robin CPX, that, you know, for instance, does, you know, AI dedicated. So what they do is they do, let's say, AI flavored GPUs, right? As opposed to,
that still continue to maintain the CUDA.
We'll see what
overloading of the ecosystem.
What we see is it will be interesting to watch. What we can be sure of is that they absolutely have the firepower to should they, you know, feel threatened, to come out with something.
Maybe what we can do is coming next week, explaining exactly what does EDML and what is a company which is unique on the market. And I think that will be interesting to discuss next week.
Yeah, okay? Absolutely. See you next week, guys.
Thank you very much for listening to us. This is Opening Voices, the podcast about tech in Europe. Thank you very much. See you next week.
Thank you for listening to Opening Voices. The conversation between Quentin Adam and Steve Morin will continue in a few days. So follow us and subscribe not to miss our next episode.